the following is a Podomatic.com production. He is an actor, writer, director, and musician. Now he is here to rock the podcast world. This is Lopez Knows Best, starring Chris Lopez.
Welcome to Lopez Knows Best with Chris Lopez. I am Chris Lopez. Thank you for joining me here this week on The Rock of Lopez, the Poet of Rock. We have a great, great show. Bassam Kassab, writer and executive producer of Zarco Films, will be here, a great friend of mine, and he's going to be on my show, and we're going to discuss all things Zarco. How we got into Zarco Films, the project that he's worked on, how we both met and he got me into the company, and most importantly, we're going to talk about Scene Visa, their biggest film yet, how it came to happen, why it came to happen, and so much more. But first, I want to talk about very briefly of what happened this past Friday. It obviously hit the news, very sad. Leonard Nimoy passed away, actor, director, and producer, an all-time great, best known for his roles as Spock, but also made various just as good films and series. Although he may be gone, his legacy lives on and will live long and prosper in our hearts and minds forever. Rest in peace, Spock. And we're back on the studio with my friend Bassam. How you doing, man?
Good to be here, Chris. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Oh, that's good. You know, I haven't seen you in quite a while. You've been kind of like hiding in the shadows as far as, you know, working with Scene Visa, I presume. Is that correct?
I've been very busy, in fact, in the last year. That's why you haven't seen me.
Yeah, I know. I've had Alex come in and I've had Anna come in as we were working on the other production film for Scene Visa, for Zarco, but... Yeah, as far as for you, you haven't walked in on this in the office first.
Yes, that's true.
So how's everything going?
Pretty good. Since we mentioned Scene Visa, we have the premiere coming up on April 4th in San Francisco in the historic Roxy Theater. So we're planning for a big event, the premiere followed by a red carpet event and cast party. So I'm looking forward to that, to seeing all the actors and crew and the audience at the Roxy.
Right, about, yeah, so that's actually what I wanted to talk about today. It's like, what actually got you into that? I want to know how all that came to be, because obviously, you know, we were, the last big premiere was Beat Us, which was another one of Zarco's films, but in the premiere there, you kind of showed a 20-minute introduction of Scene Visa.
Correct.
And so a lot of people here listening want to know exactly how that came to be, Scene Visa. Was that something that inspired you politically? Was it something that, you know, it's something that a topic that isn't touched on a regular basis?
Well, definitely the topic has multiple themes that are political, but what inspired me is the human stories in it. With my conversations with friends and acquaintances who have been through the difficulty of crossing the border and coming to the States without documents, and the struggle they have went through, whether through the border crossing or living here for years. I felt I want to portray that story, talk about it, have it on the screen. Yes, there have been many other films that touched on the subject before, but with Scene Visa, it's we're taking a new approach from a new perspective, and let's hope the audience will like it and will see what we're trying to do there after they watch the film, and I'll let them judge.
So how long did this production take you? Because obviously I started working with you guys in, let's say, 2010, kind of 11-ish, late October of 2011, if I can remember. And when I came, you guys were kind of already started with that production. So how exactly?
Well, the thing, we were not only working on Scene Visa. Starting with 2010, we formed Zarco Films, the company, in here in San Jose, California. At the end of 2009, we became an official company in January 2010. And we immediately started working on different shorts other than Scene Visa. Scene Visa is a feature film, more than 80 minutes long. But we started first with the short films, And all these five shorts and Sin Visa are kind of interconnected. They have some characters in common. They talk about different people in the community.
So they're all part of the same universe, so to say.
Yeah. So when hopefully when we get to play them all together, the audience will see what are the connections between them. So when we started in 2010, we were working on other shorts like Memorias Perdidas and Juvia Fria or Cold Drain. Memorias Perdidas touches on Alzheimer. Juvia Fria talks about bullying among teenagers and... yeah, so we ended up, we finished those two, and then we started on other shorts like No Mames, La Banca, and Bidas, before even we started filming Sin Visa. So we did all of that in 2010 and 11, and by the end of 2011, we were starting on Sin Visa, filming it. It took us throughout 2012 and part of 2013 to finish the filming. And since then, we have been working on the editing. And we're about done now, and we're ready to premiere it in San Francisco at the Roxy Theater.
At the Roxy Theater, that's going to be an impressive thing. That's definitely a well place to sort of debut the Sin Visa.
It's going to be in the heart of the Mission, and as the title alludes to, it's about being without a visa, which means someone has crossed the border, in this case from Mexico, and came to California and tried to have a life here. Well, he faced so many obstacles and struggles until he met a couple that helped him, planted the seed in his head to get an education, not just work. So he started going to school. How he did it, you will see that in the film.
Yes, and the many obstacles that he faces along the way as far as, you know, trying to get that education would go. So as far as that would be, so that touches bases on Mexico. Now, politically wise, or something more, let's try to go into more realism. Would that also be effective in like other countries of the world? So like, could this story touch base all over the world, or is it something more?
That's a good question and good observation, Chris. And you'll see when the film ends that it's not just speaking about people crossing from Mexico to the United States. It applies to any country around the world. You can see that movement of people from around the world anywhere. You can see people crossing from Africa and the Middle East, crossing the Mediterranean Sea to get to Italy and then to Europe, or to Spain and then to Europe. And many of them die in those boats over there. You can see the same thing from people would fly from all over the world to Southeast Asia and try to cross to Australia. Even you can see it among Latin American countries. I've been a few times to Venezuela, and I understand, although the situation there is not as good for Venezuelan, but you have the Colombians that would cross to Venezuela without documents just to work because the income in Venezuela is higher than Colombia. So and it happens in many other among other countries in Central America and South America. So it's all over the world it happens. So it's not just the border, the Mexican-American border. So this, in a way, people like birds. They wanna fly. They wanna go to a warmer place or a place where they can find food. Like you have some birds that would fly from Canada to Puerto Rico to Central America just seasonally. They do that trip, searching for warmer climate. That's how people, if you don't put those borders that have been placed over centuries and centuries, people want to move and be free on this earth, like any.
Well, it's a natural instinct, not just for birds, but for any living thing on this planet.
True.
So how'd you manage to get into Zarco? My big question, because obviously for me, it was going through that acting school. Obviously, Magda got me into this as well. So that's my little story of how I got in. But how did you like come across? We're going to go a little bit far back. What got you into film and what got you into wanting to join Zarco?
Yeah, notice you are mentioning those names, Magda and Alex and Anna, and maybe some people don't know who they are. So let me tell you a little bit more about that. I was taking Spanish classes, and Magda, whom you are referring to, was in one of those classes, although her Spanish is excellent, but it was more like a writing class. She's from Mexico. She has been living here for 20 years, and she's a common friend between you and I. I mean, among us. I mean, she's a common friend. So she was in the class, and then she heard from me that I have done, I have produced and acted in an Egyptian movie before, and I'm thinking about doing now movies in Spanish. And she came to me and she said, like, oh, my story has to be shared. And like, we talked for hours about what struggle she went through in this country. And then, although the story I was writing, it was about not her story, it's about a young man who crossed the border. And I've heard from similar cases of young men, what happened to them. So I told her, I'm writing this story, but you are welcome to help us as a assistant producer, as part of the crew team. In fact, she was the associate producer of Sin Visa. So she was she had a very big role until, unfortunately, she had to choose to go back to Mexico because of her lack of documents. So she decided to go back and wait until she can come back and be reunited with her husband. So it's sad to know that someone whose husband is American cannot stay here because they made what was called a mistake by crossing the border without documents in the past.
Right, right. Yeah. So that's how you managed to cross paths with her.
Yes, so through that class, and that's how I invited her to join Sarco. Sarco Films is a company that we founded here in San Jose. I was approached by a friend who's another engineer also. I know him from work. His name is Alex Perdomo. And he was thinking of starting that company called Sarco Films with other Latino actors and actresses. And they needed someone to write for them. So he knew that I'm involved in film and writing and all of that. So he approached me. He said, are you willing to write in Spanish? And Spanish is my fourth language, but I took it as a challenge. I said, yes, I'm going to do it. And that's how I got into this, right, in 2009, and I'm still here. So I did write Sin Visa, the feature film. I did write the short movie Bidas, 33 minutes, and Alex and I co-wrote a third one called No Mames, whereas Alex Perdomo wrote three other shorts, which I mentioned earlier, Lluvia Fría, Memorias Perdidas, and La Banca. So between both of us, we wrote those six projects, and we have been showing some of the shorts in the past in different festivals, but now we're ready to show Sin Visa and the other shorts also in the Bay Area, in San Francisco on April 4th and 5th at the Roxy, but also in San Jose at San Jose State University Theater. We're going to be showing Sin Visa and other shorts on April 11, which is also a Saturday. At the San Jose State, it's the first time we'll be showing it in San Jose, and lots of our friends and family members and followers of Sarco are from San Jose, because that's a San Jose company.
Right.
So we expect that it will be a busy multiple screenings at San Jose State University.
Now, do you plan to have these at film festivals as well? Cinequest, let's say, or the San Jose?
We are focused now with the Sin Visa to release it in theaters. If we get invited by film festivals, we'll go for it. But our focus is to try to show this film to as many people as possible. It's good to show it to festival goers and critics, but we also want to target the general population. So if they see it in a theater near them, they can just go and watch it, and hopefully we'll expand from the Bay Area to other large cities where we can show these films.
Well, I understand. Speaking of large cities, you recently went to Los Angeles for a film festival. You submitted, is that correct? Lluvia Fría was.
Yeah,
it?
No, it was Bidas.
Bidas.
It was in the summer in August, the Broadway International Film Festival. Yes, we screened it there, and we got a prize for best short film.
Best short film. Nice. Interesting. When you wrote the story, did you really base it off of someone exactly in particular, or was it just someone from, or multiple people that came into mind?
Two people. One whom I heard from him what he went through by crossing the border and the interaction with the coyote. The coyote is the person who helps people cross the border. Sometimes there are good coyotes, and there are bad coyotes who mistreat the immigrants and take advantage of them in different ways, whether financially or sexually or emotionally. So you could have a good coyote or bad coyote. So in this case, it's a bad coyote. And in Sin Visa, it's portrayed by the excellent actor Mauricio Samano, who's was a very good, very nice person, but a very mean coyote.
He did it pretty well. I was very convinced he was a coyote.
The idea was based, I mean, that scene, what happens in the struggle with the coyote is based on a friend's story. But then also with my interaction with different colleges here, I know there are ways for people to go to school. And that idea, I wanted to show it in the film, that it's possible for someone, even if they don't have their documents yet, their papers yet, they can attend school and get an education while waiting to adjust their status. So that's the message I wanted to embed in the story. So based on those two instances and two different people, I built the story around them.
So the cast, what did you think about the cast? How did you manage to find them to begin with? Because I know I came in and I saw all these well already established cast members.
Yeah, well, when we started looking for actors for all six films, we started to have casting calls, and we'll get people who have some experience in acting in films or theater, and others who are totally newbie and they want to try something new. So we had a big casting event at De Anza College, and we had lots of people coming in, and then we got some of the actors we needed, but there were some still key roles that we didn't find the right person. So we kept on doing casting calls, holding them in San Jose, and I was like searching everywhere. I was searching among friends, on Facebook, on whoever I see fits the role. I ask them sometimes if they are interested in acting. And in the case of Edgar Arturo Camacho Gonzalez, the lead actor in Sin Visa, the protagonist, that's how it happened. Like, you know, how we met, I asked him if he's interested. It turned out that he's an artist and he's an activist who's interested in the immigration topic and other human rights topics. So he came to the audition and we liked what he presented, and we took him on board, and we are happy to have him because, like, he stuck with the project for as many years as it took, and until he finished it. So, and also we through the casting we met also other actors in Sin Visa. We have the Luis Valencia, who plays the role of the college counselor, basically the one who befriends the main character of Edgar Arturo, that's called Marco. And we have, as I mentioned, Mauricio Samano, and we also have an excellent actress. She used to live in San Francisco, but now she moved to Florida, Amanda Romero. She did her role very well. And I know when you guys see it in, when you all see it in the Roxy or in San Jose, you are going to agree with me that all these actors were excellent actors.
So you mentioned it before that all these films tie in one way or another. So can you explain that in a much more profound detail, how each film connects in ways?
Let me tell you like the theme about each film, and then you'll see how they tie in. Lluvia Fria, or Cold Rain, is a short film about bullying among teenagers and peer pressure. So the kids end up playing Russian roulette to show that they are tough. The next one, Memorias Perdidas, is about Alzheimer's disease. The third one is called Bidas. It's a controversial triangular love story between three people. And Bidas, I write it with B-I instead of Vidas, V-I. Vidas means lives. But Bidas is like a new word that came up with. And when you see the film, you would understand why I called it Bidas. And then you have No Mames, which is about a man when he hits his middle age. He starts to think to change his life from a player to someone who's serious, who want to get married. And then you have Sin Visa, which is a feature film about immigration and the right to higher education. And the last one is La Banca, which is about suicide. So all of them, the topics are like social issues that people are struggling with. But the common between them is that these people are somehow connected. They all live in the Bay Area. The characters live in the Bay Area. And they know each other somehow. So when in Sin Visa, for example, you are going to end up seeing the characters of Bidas. You are going to see the character Maria of Memorias Perdidas, played by Elsa Amaya. and then you are gonna see the one, the bad guy in Giulia Fria, or the protagonist in La Banca, who's the same. We are gonna see him as the co-worker of Marco. So you are gonna learn more about them, although you have seen him as a bad guy in Giulia Fria, because he brought the gun to the table to play Russian roulette. Whereas here you are gonna see him years later, that he's a kind of different person. So you learn more about him, although you have already finished with his story in Giulia Fria, but now you learn more about him. Same thing, let's say, with the character, lead character in Bidas, played by Diego Vasquez, the guy who's, loves two people, basically. He in Bidas, you heard his story, but when you see him again in Sinvisa, you see how it's painful for him when people make fun of others, how this affected his life. When you see his reaction on the screen, you realize, that's why he turned out this way. Because, friends sometimes bully each other, and that's how it affects people who have some secret that they are hiding.
Hmm. Okay. So, have you ever... Because they're all in Spanish. I've noticed that. Has there any point came across for you guys when you sat down on the table, talked and discussed? Has there any point... At any point did you guys discuss about having a different language film? It didn't have to be exactly Spanish. Or did you guys just wanted to target as a Spanish?
Well, the stories are about Latinos in the United States. So the films could have been in English. Correct. But we felt like there have been many films in English made about Latinos in the U.S. Some films were like a big budget from whether Hollywood, or they have big name stars attached to them and a large budget. So these things have been done. And definitely there are lots of movies in Spanish coming from Mexico or Argentina or any other Latin American country. There are lots of movies from there, but they are not about people living in the United States, right? So we wanted to do something about people living here in Spanish, and you have sometimes some English in the film, because since they live here, they interact with others sometimes in English or among each other. But most of the six films, the dialogue are in Spanish, because the communities that they are describing are communities that mostly speak Spanish as their first language. So it's not about the language, it's about being authentic to the story, it's about authentic to the character, and when you have a good story, it doesn't matter what language it is in. You could have a silent movie and have a good story.
Right.
So, and that's why subtitles are for. So definitely there'll be subtitles. No need to worry. There'll be English subtitles at the Roxy and in Soundsy.
Now, it's like I mentioned before that, the situations could have happened anywhere. Would that have worked the same? Like if you wanted to film this, instead of like, let's say Sinvisa took place in like Iraq or something, they wanted to move into like Spain or Portugal or Spain or France and stuff like that. Would that have also been similar to how it was here, or would it have been completely different?
Well, the stories, as I mentioned earlier, they are happening. I mean, every day we see on the news a boat in the Mediterranean Sea that has sunk, or the Coast Guard of Italy, they saved the immigrants. Some of them are like a few months old. So these things happen, but if we had to make a story about them, it will be in different location, it will be in a different language, and maybe the culture will be a little bit different, but the human side of the story would still be the same. I'm going to give you an example of a film starring Salma Hayek, El Callejón de los Milagros, I believe it's called, Callejón de los Milagros. The story is written by a... Nobel Prize winner from Egypt. His name is Naguib Mahfouz. So he wrote that story, and it was a famous story. Everyone knows it. And then it was made even a film in Egypt. And then years later, a producer and director ended up making it as a movie in Spanish. So it was set, the set was in Mexico, I believe, and the language was in Spanish, but it's kind of the same story. And it worked out, because it's
just
about
a little
neighborhood in a poor area, whether it's in Egypt or in Mexico. The set has changed, the language has changed, but the story worked out beautifully. So it the language doesn't matter. I mean, I mentioned before that I was involved with the film, an Egyptian film in 2008. It's called All My Life, or in Egyptian it's called Tulamri. It's by the Egyptian filmmaker Maher Sabri. A shout out to him here because he's the editor of Bidas and Sinvisa. He has spent long months in the last 2 years working on Bidas and Sinvisa, editing them and taking them to the next level. So I helped on his film as an actor as a co-producer. And although the film is in Spanish, in Arabic, but the story could apply to any community if you change a few things in it, change the language, and then it would work out. And through this film, that's how I met the Sarco Films people, because they saw that I have been on a feature film that I've been shown like in 25 different countries and many festivals and won prizes. So they felt like, okay, they want to work, we want to work together. And that's how they recruited me to join Sarco Films. By the way, we didn't mention what Sarco means. I mean, Sarco in Spanish, although it's written Z-A-R-C-O, if anyone want to follow us on Facebook, Sarco Films in English, but really it's a Spanish word, so Sarco Films. The word Sarco really refers to the color blue, to the clarity of vision. That's how we meant it. I mean, we want to use it like we want to make films with a new vision, with a clearer vision, and different than other films that have been done before. And I think so far we have succeeded. Our films are different than others. We are doing indie films that are with a new perspective.
And speaking of actors, have you actually, is that the only film you've ever acted in, the one that you just mentioned that won many prizes and was shown? And
yeah, that's the Arabic film that I've acted in. I've been in a play in San Francisco and Stanford, and after that I'm an actor in supporting actor in Sinvisa. And I appear also in La Banca. But yeah, I have a supporting actor role in Sinvisa.
Care to share with us that little story, how we met at the Heritage Plaza? I remember, as I mentioned, you know, Magda pulled me in and she told me about Zarco. And I was really interested. I said, okay, well, actually, she talked to my parents because at that time I wasn't exactly legal. And her husband and I were actually playing in the band together when this was all going on. So she called me and I said yes, but she said I had to take this acting class at the Heritage Plaza. And that's where I ended up meeting you, Ana, which is the director of...
Ana Simons. She's a Brazilian director who has directed all of our six films. Yeah.
And so how did you manage to get into that as well? Did you want to enhance your acting skills, or was that more of a test for me?
So I was taking that class at the Mexican Heritage Plaza with the director Rodrigo Garcia, who's an excellent acting coach. And I brought in some people from Sarco. I encouraged them to join this class to enhance their acting or learn new skills. Also through this class, I was trying to meet other people who could be suitable for some roles. Because I'm the casting director and I always looking for the on the lookout for new talents. Yeah, and that's how I met you.
Yeah, because I came across and they're like, oh, they wanted me originally to be one of the main protagonists for Vidas. And then I guess it was due to my age or due to my height and I kind of like said no. But I did end up finding a role for Sinvisa. If you guys watch the movie, you'll totally see me there. I make a small little cameo, fun cameo. So that was just an extra thing. You were doing pretty much a casting look and you were hoping to find people that would join the class and hopefully had potential to be in the films if
That's
they
right.
were interested.
That's right.
Now, as far, that was like the director for that, unfortunately, I can't remember her name. She was part of Teatro Vision mm-hmm. or Vision Theater.
Elisa Marina Alvarado. So the class was run by Elisa Marina Alvarado. An excellent director, and as well as Rodrigo Garcia, who's a director, a community member, acting coach. So both of them, they are a great team.
Now, did you actually manage to stay in touch? Did you actually make act in a few of their skits every now and then, or was that just a one-time?
No, I got busy. I mean, I took the class, but then I got busy with the Sinvisa and Bidas and all of that, and even I never tried to go to one of their casting. Although some of our actors in
Psycho Fans, I heard they were doing,
have appeared in.
They were doing a casting for Macario, and I think Luis Valencia got into that.
And Arnulfo Moreno and Laura Garcia, Elsa Amaya have appeared in other plays other than Macario. Many of our actors and actresses also do appear in Teatro Vision. Or El Teatro Campesino down there in Salinas. We have two excellent people from there, Mauricio Samano and also Adrian Torres, who's a director Monterrey and Salinas. And,
I call him Superman because he wears that jacket from Smallville. It's just ridiculous.
He's an excellent actor. He's, in fact, the protagonist of No Mames.
And a very good acting coach, yes, for sure. And I worked with him a couple times.
And very good theater director and teacher.
And the makeup was done really well, too. I was surprised by that.
Let me start on the makeup. We were blessed to have the one and only one, Rose Hill. And
right, I'm very surprised.
Of makeup artists. Like, she would bring us people under training to assist, but she's always present.
She was very magnificent. She did a really great job.
She have like at least 15 makeup artists through her, but she's always present at every scene, leading her students and showing them how to put the makeup. And sometimes, one time, I want to tell this story. We were wanna film No Mames in a gym in San Leandro near Oakland, and at 7:30 a.m., the student makeup artist who was supposed to come texted me that she's sick, she cannot make it. And like I was thinking, like I'm the producer of No Mames and Vidas and Sin Visa, so I was thinking, like, are we gonna cancel? We don't want to cancel. Like, we went through a lot of trouble to reserve that gym, so I'm not gonna cancel. So I called Rose Hill. She would answer on Saturday morning from bed. Oh, I'm still sleeping. What's going on? I said, your makeup artist canceled on us. She's sick. What can we do? She said, give me just 15 minutes to get into the shower and drive to Oakland. I'm coming. So she leaves, very early on a weekend. Instead of resting, she leaves and she would sit with us there for 12 hours waiting for the actors to change their makeup or apply more powder on them. Like, she's awesome.
Yeah, because, you know, we were at Hollister also doing one of the scenes for Sin Visa and stuff like that. And I was very surprised that they managed to make us look really our face is really nicely burned from being on the sun too much.
Yeah, Roselle is excellent with all her team, but also we had also a professional makeup artist in addition to her students, and of course in addition to the one and only one, Rose Hill. We had Juan Aquino and Karen Sidbury helping us on a lot of scenes in all films. So all this team, I mean, they were amazing. We are lucky to have many actors and crew who just wanted to believe in the stories and wanted to be there. I mean, the crew members, I mean, they were spending their weekend, a whole Saturday and whole Sunday on this production basically just because they believe in it.
I remember we were like up until like 1-2 o'clock in the morning still trying to finish up a couple scenes. And as far as I remember, at least only like one or two people left, but everyone else actually stayed, which actually surprised me big time. So back to Sin Visa, because obviously, you know, this is a big, really big deal. This is one of your big productions that it's going to be premiered at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco. Obviously, it's one of the biggest accomplishments from all six films. All six films respectively have made an impact. But as for me, as a filmmaker myself, you know, one of the important things, aside from the story itself, is also the music. So how did you guys manage to pull in the kind of music that you guys have for Sin Visa?
Yeah, regarding the music, during the production, I was always thinking, like, we need excellent songs here. We need songs that are going to add to the impact of the film. And I had written the lyrics myself to a couple of these songs, but I was still looking for the voice that who can portray them. And during that time, I was fortunate to meet the international artist, Mike Massey, who sings in multiple languages. And when I approached him, I told him, I've heard your songs in Arabic, English, and Spanish, and even Bulgarian, but do you sing in Spanish? I'm sorry, I said Arabic, English, French, and Bulgarian, but I was not sure if he sings in Spanish. Are you willing to sing in Spanish? He says, yes, I'll sing in Spanish. So I showed him the lyrics for the song Giocanto, which is the theme song of Sinvisa, and he loved it. He went ahead and composed it, and I loved what he did with it. And then he recorded it, mastered it in Belgium, and we have now an excellent song for the movie that's called Giocanto, that really talks about the struggle of this young immigrant. And then he also did more music to the film. He composed another song. It's called Ya Emmi. It's in Arabic. It means "Oh Mother." That speaks about the other character in the film, the character of Eric Cook, played by Luis Valencia. And also he did the we needed a sad music somewhere, and the editor Maher Sabri wanted a funeral march by Chopin, Frédéric Chopin, but we wanted to make it more, give it a Latin feel. So the composer Mike Massey took it, wrote the music for guitar, the same Chopin music but written for guitar instead of piano. And when you all will hear it in San Francisco or San Jose, it's gonna really touch you. I mean, every time I hear it, it has that impact on me. I'm not gonna tell you which impact. I don't wanna lead you more to reveal the movie, but yeah, it's very impactful. All of these songs are, all two songs and the music of Chopin were very powerful in the film. But he also did another song for us in English for La Banca that talks about suicide. It's called Farewell. And he's also working on a song in Spanish that we are going to add to Lluvia Fría, although we are done with Lluvia Fría, but before we release it on DVD, we want to add that song that wraps up the story very well.
For those wondering, here's a small little preview of Giocanto by Mike Messi, which will be also be, you will hear it at the Sinvisa premiere, and hopefully in an album coming soon.
Para mi mamá, que nos cuidaba, aunque enferma estaba. Para una hermana, embarazada, por un zeta que la violaba. Yo canto, canto, yo canto, canto. Yo canto, canto.
So that was a small little preview of Giocanto by Mike Messi, which he will be performing at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco for the Sinvisa premiere, which you can get tickets to at
Roxy.com.
Roxy.com.
Search for Sinvisa.
And yeah.
And after the premiere, there will be a cast party, a red carpet event at the Mission Cultural Center for Latino Arts. If you follow us on Facebook on or Twitter, Sarco Films with a Z's, Sarco, Z-A-R-C-O. You can hear more about the tickets to the premiere and to the cast party at the Mission Cultural Center for Latino Arts. Mike Massey will be performing live at the cast party. He'll be performing all three songs that I mentioned. He's coming all the way, crossing oceans, just to be here with us.
It's going to be a really amazing night. And for Amazing Night, so Sinvisa is going to be, is that the only film you're going to be showing there, or will you be like previewing, will there be questions? And explain me how the whole thing is going to work, so to say.
Well, on the premiere day on Saturday, April 4th at the Big Roxy Theater, we are showing Sinvisa, but before that we are going to show, it will be preceded by a very short, which is Memorias Perdidas, 7 minutes. So basically, we will show Memorias Perdidas first, then we go into Sinvisa that people have not seen before, because Memorias Perdidas has been in different festivals. But we wanted to start with Memorias Perdidas because it has also a connection to Sinvisa. On the following day, we are also at the Roxy throughout the weekend. On the following day, on Sunday, April 5th, at 5 o'clock, we are going to show Lluvia Fría, followed by Sinvisa at the 5 p.m. showing. And then at the 7 p.m. Screening, we are going to show Bidas followed by Sinvisa. So at every event, you will see Sinvisa, but it will be preceded by a different short. And those details are on Roxy.com. If you search for Sinvisa, you will find details and tickets. Whereas here in San Jose State University, the first of our screenings will be on Saturday, April 11. We are going to show our three shorts that I mentioned earlier, plus Sinvisa. So it will be really an event about Sinvisa, but it will be preceded by three shorts. So you get a taste of our other films and how the characters are interconnected and the stories are interconnected.
And all of them are going to be there. We're gonna hopefully see everyone at the premiere.
And hopefully at Sound Say 2, you'll see the actors, the crew, the supporters who have been supporting us in different ways throughout the years, and hopefully many members of the audience who are interested in these topics, in any of them, will be there, and they will get to interact with everyone, and we'll have a great time.
I'm looking forward to it already. All right. Well, thank you very much, Bassam, for coming all the way over here.
Thank you, Chris, for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thanks so much to Bassam. I hope to have him back again in future episodes for another amazing show. What a cool conversation. So much we covered. Listen, I want to thank you all for supporting this show. Thank you for being a part of Lopez Knows Best. Thank you so much for joining me on Lopez Knows Best. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Lopez Says. For more information and details for upcoming episodes. Till then, take care, rock on, and rock hard.